evening, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of John. We're coming to the end of the book. Jesus had met the disciples up in the Galilee region by the Sea of Galilee. In the last Sunday afternoon, we studied about how Jesus came, and immediately the disciples didn't recognize him as they'd gone fishing. And Jesus revealed to them where to catch the fish, and then he revealed to them that even as he could bring fish to their nets and give them a physical catch, he was the one that would have to bring men to their nets as well to make them fishers of men. But tonight I want you to look at beginning at verse 15 of chapter 21 as we come to the end of the book of John. Peter was kind of the center of the study on Sunday. And Peter is again the center of the study this evening. There's probably been times in your life where you feel, Lord, I've really failed you. I've let you down. How could you ever really forgive me? How could I ever be used by you? Peter, if you remember when Jesus was arrested, was the one that took out his sword and was going to fight to the end and swung his sword and cut off Malchus's ear. And Jesus healed the ear and told him to put the sword away. And it wasn't but a mere few hours later that Peter was fleeing in terror, denying Jesus three times, just as Jesus told him he was going to that night, even though Peter emphatically denied that he would ever do that, that he would go with Jesus to the death. But then you find when Jesus was brought before the high priest and later the Sanhedrin that night, that it took but merely a maid and a woman and a man to question if Peter wasn't from the Galilee region and really wasn't one of his disciples, and Peter denied it emphatically and the cock crew three times. Peter was the first one to reach the grave of Jesus of the disciples, outrunning John, and going and seeing that Jesus wasn't there. But then, like the other disciples, hiding in the room behind locked doors until Jesus appeared. Peter was the one that said, "Let's go fishing. I'm going fishing." Almost, you get from the context of the verse, they were told to go and wait for Jesus, and yet Peter was the one that instituted, "Let's just go back to what we're familiar with." And now Jesus prepares a meal for them, and they've eaten this breakfast that Jesus has prepared. And he comes down and he specifically begins to talk to Peter. Let's begin at verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter grieved, because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loveth following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that this disciple shall not die. Yet Jesus did not say unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, and if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you speak to us through your word this evening. Help us to see the immense love and compassion and desire you have to work through your people. And help us to understand that oftentimes we're like Peter, saying things we shouldn't say, doing things we shouldn't do, embarrassed because we do them, and yet you are there to tell us you love us. Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening and help us to understand the truths that you'd have for us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When Menno Kalischer was here, he would preach, and he would preach out of his Hebrew Bible, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek. And because Hebrew is his language, he's Jewish. And oftentimes when he'd be preaching, he said, you get to read things in black and white, I get to see them in color. And one of the things that is true is that there's some words that even though you translate word for word, the English doesn't have the depth of meaning that the original language does. One of those words is the word love. English has minimal differentiation when you use the word love. In Greek, there are many types of love that can be spoken of. The two in the text this evening are agape, which is unconditional love, a deep and abiding love, a love which is not reliant upon action, but a love is done out of total commitment for the person. Another word is phileo love, which is brotherly love. It's a desire to serve one. It's a desire to be there for one, but it's not the depth of commitment of agape. The words that are used for love in the text this evening, Jesus, the first two times he asked Peter, uses the word agape. And it is to be translated, Peter, do you have unconditional love for me? Are you willing to serve me? Are you willing to go to the death for me? Okay? And when Peter answers, Lord, you know I phileo you. You know that I have a brotherly compassion, a commitment to you, a desire to serve you. But he doesn't speak the word that Jesus speaks and asks him of. One of the reasons is, because as you look at this, Jesus makes the statement three times to him, asks the question three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. It's not without notice upon the situation that Peter doesn't realize what Jesus is doing. A lot of times we read the texts and we read the accounts and we read and we've had little Bible stories in Sunday school or heard sermons where they really don't emphasize this is historical accounts. This really happened. These people had real emotions. There was real things going on in their hearts and minds. That was Peter. That was what was happening now. Remember all the events that had just transpired before this. Jesus had told them, go and wait for me in the Galilee. They went up there, they waited. Jesus didn't come. Peter said, let's go fishing. Let's go back to what we were doing before. Jesus comes immediately when John says, it looks, the Lord is here, even though they weren't quite sure if it was the Lord, but he said, I believe the Lord is here, that he's the one that's on the beach preparing the meal for us. Peter immediately grabbed his robe, put it on, and jumped in the water, and he was ready to run to the Lord. But he gets there, and after Jesus has fed them, Jesus has asked him these questions, and all of a sudden Peter becomes humble again. Because Peter's mind is going back to that night. Oftentimes, people can confront us about our failures. Satan loves to do it. He loves to confront you with the times that you have failed Jesus, that you have done things that have been wrong, and get you to the point that you think there is nothing I could ever do for the Lord again, and there's nothing that God could use me for because I've done all these horrible things. If you want to stop and look at Peter's life, Peter was always so impetuous. He would say things that he shouldn't say when he shouldn't say them, and he wouldn't say the things that he should say when he should say them. And oftentimes, isn't that us? We say things that we're embarrassed about later. We make statements that we wish we could bring back. And then when it comes opportunities for us to speak on behalf of the Lord, oftentimes our lips become sealed. And that was Peter. And as Peter is standing there before the Lord, Jesus asks him these questions and he makes three interesting responses to them after Peter gives him the answer. And we're going to look at those responses very quickly this evening and just see what they are. And he says, first of all, he saith, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Okay? Now who is these? The other six disciples that are there having breakfast with him. And so Jesus is saying, are you committed to me more than the rest of these? Is the depth of your commitment and love more than what these men have? Is that who you are, Peter? That's a tough question. These men are committed. John had been there sitting by Jesus at the Last Supper and had asked Jesus, which one is it that, who will betray us? John with Peter and James were on the Mount of Transfiguration when Elijah and Moses came down in their glorified condition and met the Lord, and the Lord appeared in His glory speaking to them. And Peter was the one that says, let's build some different altars, one for Moses and one for... And the Lord said, no. Peter had been one of the three disciples closest to the Lord when the Lord walked on the earth. He was always seemed to be with Jesus. And yet now he asks him, do you love me? Is your commitment to me, is the depth of your love more than these other six disciples that are here? Peter says, you know, Lord, that I have commitment to you. I have phileo love for you. And Jesus tells Peter an interesting thing. He says, feed my lambs. He starts out with feeding his lambs. The lambs are the baby sheep. He's telling Peter, one of the things that you are going to do and be responsible for is bringing the gospel to people. Bringing it to the lambs. Bringing the gospel and the food to the lambs so that they can come to know the shepherd. I'm trusting you with an important task, Peter. And it's not based upon what your statement is that you only have a phileo love for me, but it's based upon what I'm telling you that I am commissioning you to do. And I want you to understand that even though there may be times in your life that you have failed Jesus, that you have done things that you wish you could take back that you had never done, words that you have spoken that you wish you had never spoken, that the Lord forgives you for those things. When you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. And the thing is, He still commissions every one of us to feed His sheep, to feed His lambs, to take the gospel to those that don't know it. And what a commission that is. Peter would be the first disciple to speak publicly, that's recorded in the book of Acts, before a vast audience, and at the time, what had just been a hostile audience towards the message of Christ. And he does it twice in Jerusalem. And Jesus uses him powerfully, in that there's 5,000, and then, I forget the second time, was it 3? Or they came to Christ. The other disciples doesn't record that they spoke, but Peter did. Peter was the first one that's recorded of the disciples to take the gospel to a Gentile community. Philip took the gospel to the Ethiopian slave. But Peter was the one that took to the gospel to the Roman soldier and his family on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, on the Mediterranean Sea. Jesus then asked Peter again, a second time. And he saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? In other words, do you love me again? And again he uses the word agape, or agapeo. Unconditionally. A deep and abiding love. A love which not is based upon what I can do for you, but it's based upon your depth of your commitment to me. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, that I have filial love for you, I have commitment to you. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now he's talking about adult sheep. He's talking about sheep that aren't just babies. He's talking about older sheep, and he tells them, Feed them. How do you feed older sheep? Well, when I was a kid, we had a bottle lamb, and we started the bottle lamb out on a bottle. And you fed it milk. We didn't have a mother sheep there, so we would get cow's milk, and we'd feed the baby lamb cow's milk, and I remember how excited it was to get that milk. It was just about jerk the bottle right out of your hand. But there came a day where that little lamb grew up, and it became a sheep, and we didn't feed it milk anymore, but instead we would feed it grain, and we would feed it grass, and we would feed it hay and other food, because it had a different need than it did when it was a little lamb. As you and I first come to Christ, we're like little lambs. We know nothing, and we have to have all things explained to us. We even have to have explained to us who Jesus is and how we need Jesus and how that we're sinners and how that we need to come to Christ. But once we have a grasp of the gospel and the message of salvation, we don't just sit there, but we need to be fed that which will cause us to grow and mature and have depth of understanding, so that when we face a world that's hostile against us, we will have discerning hearts and spirits and know how to act and who to trust and where to turn. Peter's told them, Feed my sheep. I'm going to entrust you to give my sheep a message that will cause them to grow. Now you read the two letters that Peter was given to give to the church under the inspiration of God's Spirit, and they're powerful messages. Peter tells us that as Christians, we have taken the place of the priests in the Old Covenant. He tells us, you are now a priest in Christ. In the Old Testament, you had to be a Levi or a Kohen in order to be a priest. Under the new covenant, all who come to Christ are priests. We're a new nation, a different people. And Peter was entrusted with giving that message to the church. Message, sadly to say, that much of the church misunderstands and misinterprets today. Because God has not thrown away the Jewish community. But He has created a bride for His Son. And Peter is responsible for feeding us. Jesus doesn't stop there, though. He asks him a third time. And the reason He asked him a third time is because Peter had denied Him three times. And there's a direct correlation, because every time that Peter denied, Jesus is asking him again, "Do you love Me?" Now, in the third time He asks him, He changes the word from agape to phileo. And He says unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me? Are you committed to Me, Peter?" Peter was grieved, because He said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou Me?" Okay. He was grieved because he who had been, when Jesus had gone anywhere, he was one of the three that was closest to Him always. The level of His commitment was at times appearance from an earthly perspective and from a human perspective greater than any of the disciples. None of the other disciples drew their sword to lop off heads that day, but Peter did. None of the other disciples had come up with the answer when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And He said, "You are the..." And then He said, "Who do you say that I am?" After they had told Him, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're a prophet." And He says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter blurted out, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus turned and said to him, "Man hasn't told you that, but God has." But within a few moments, Peter was telling Him, when Jesus said, "I must go to Jerusalem and I must go to the cross," he was saying, "No, no, no." And He said, "Get behind Me, Satan." So Peter was grieved. He who was close to Jesus was grieved that Jesus would have to ask him, "Do you love Me?" Sometimes in our hearts and lives, that's the way we may feel. "Lord, You're really coming to me, and I've done something that has been wrong. I've sinned against You as a believer. And now it's like You're asking me again and again, 'Do you love Me? Do you love Me?'" Yes, I love You. But we have to be careful, and I think that this is one of the things that Jesus was emphasizing to Peter. What is the focus of our love? You know, if you look at the church at Ephesus and then look at the book of Revelation, it's amazing. The church at Ephesus had pastors and evangelists that practically no other church in the book of Acts or the New Testament had. If you stop and think, Paul was there for, I believe, 3 years. As first the evangelist and then the pastor, teaching the people there, teaching the elders, those that God had given the gift of leadership to, what it meant to be an elder, what it meant to be a leader in the church, and what it meant to take the gospel. So much so that when Paul left, there was great weeping and tears, both from Paul and the elders that went out to see him off for the last time. John, the apostle, was a pastor at the church of Ephesus. Some people believe that Timothy also was a pastor at the church in Ephesus. It was a church that had strong leadership. strong men, men of God leading and setting the example and leading the way. But when Jesus comes in the book of Revelation, what does he say the problem is with the church of Ephesus? It's not that they've lost their desire for truth, but they've lost their first love. They've lost their first love. If you've ever been, those of you who are married, you probably remember what it was like when you first got married and there was all of the emotion and the feeling and you didn't want to be ever separated. And you know something, you have to work at keeping that first love. It's going to be 50 years for us in June. And if we relied on our emotions, it wouldn't be the same. But we're not relying on emotion. Relying on commitment. And love of God is a commitment. It's a covenant. When a couple gets married, they say that it's an example of Jesus in the church. And it's an example of the covenant and the commitment of a husband and wife. And that is why, I've shared it before in other messages, that is why the family is under such attack today in America and around the world. Because we set the example and the tone of what it is. First of all, for Christ's commitment to the church, and the church's love and respect for Jesus. As he comes a third time, Peter's grieved because he is committed. He hasn't always shown it, but he's asked God's forgiveness for it. Lovest thou me, in verse 17, he's grieved with that word. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him a second time, feed my sheep. It's very important. And this is one thing that those that are given the responsibility of teaching, and I don't care what your level of teaching is, because some people say, well, that's just for pastors, that's just for Sunday school teachers. No, it's for every person that has any responsibility for instructing anyone. Jesus tells him, feed my sheep the second time, and he tells him the second time to feed my sheep. You make sure what you're feeding them is right. You're absolutely committed to this feeding the sheep. Of giving him that which will help him to grow and mature and become a strong believer. One of the sad things is most pastors, most Christian leaders, most people that take even fathers in the home and mothers in the home and other people that have Sunday school teachers, or even if you just meeting with another man or another woman for a Bible study, don't take it seriously that we're to feed them only the truth. Because Jesus tells him twice, feed my sheep. Don't forget. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, and then he tells him, Peter, there's going to come a time where you're not going to be able to do what you want to do. And it says that it signifies his death. People say that Peter died as a martyr, crucified. But the thing is, when he was crucified to the glory of God. Because he would not deny his Lord. But the amazing thing is, and then we're going to close after this statement, the amazing thing is that Peter follows Jesus, as Jesus evidently gets up and starts to walk away, and Peter's following him, and then John begins to follow after Peter. That's the picture that I'm seeing in this passage. And all of a sudden, Peter turns and sees John, and he asks the Lord, well, what about him? Is he going to die? Is he going to have to go where he doesn't want to go, like me? And what does Jesus tell him? It's not up to you, Peter. What is that of your... Why do you care about that? You shouldn't care about that. And that is the whole focus of what Jesus is telling us. It doesn't matter because he's got different plans for each one of us. John was going to be entrusted with the responsibility, and I don't know if I would really want John's task that he had to do. Yeah, he was given the to write the book of Revelation, being caught up into heaven and seeing all the marvelous things of the last days, but he also was thrown into a vat of boiling oil. I don't think that was a fun experience. He was also put imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, not a great place to be. God had plans for him, though. And the plans were different than Peter. Just like every other one of the... James, the plans were different for James. James was the first martyr, the brother of John, the first martyr of the church, killed by Herod. He didn't even get a chance to go out and hardly witness for the Lord before he was put to death. But God had a plan. We can look at other martyrs. Jim Elliot, who had such a heart for Jesus, such a heart for evangelism, and yet he was martyred when he was in his mid-20s, along with four of his friends. But God had a plan. That through their deaths would come a whole tribe of people that had never, ever. And we saw the movie about that, and we saw the statement of one of the men that had been there shooting the arrows into them when they died. And as they had killed them, he said, "We have done something very bad. We have done something very bad." And when Jim Elliot's wife and one of the other men's wife came to minister to those people, they were ready to hear the gospel. It's not up to us to ask, Lord, how will you end up using me? It's not us to ask, how will ever you have me go? But it's up to us to go where he leads us to go. And that's what the question that Peter was being asked. And Peter is being asked by Jesus to say, do you love me? Are you committed to me? Will you follow me? That's the question. And Peter said, I will. That's the question he's asking for us today. And the thing is, in all of it, Jesus does care. He cared so much about Peter that he dealt with him specifically, and it's recorded in John's Gospel as the only disciple at that breakfast that he dealt with. And I'm sure there were other doubts that the other men had, but specifically he dealt with Peter's three denials to show the depth of his love for him. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray you help us to understand this. Help us to apply these truths to our life and help us to follow you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 517. 517. 517. 517. Does Jesus care?